This evening scripturing will come from 1 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 2. 1 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 2. You know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not without results. We had previously suffered and been treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in the face of strong opposition.
Okay, I know you are all full of turkey today, so I don't want to hear anybody saying they fell asleep because of tryptophan overload, but I'm not going to blame it on me. Oh, man. All right. So we've had some pretty good messages lately on light and salt and being such. I think I told some of you the other night, I thought Mickey is the perfect person to speak on salt and light because he represents that in his life. He has influence on other people. And as Travis was giving his thoughts on standing strong, this morning, you know, that fits his personality. That's where he is. One of the things that I think is good about having our pulpit rotated by various men is you get to see the gospel through their personality, and you get to understand new things because of what they bring. I'm very pleased with the gentleman that we have speaking to us from week to week, and I hope you've been encouraged. I know many have told me that. So with that thought, I thought, well, you know what? We're talking about salt and light, so I'm going to talk about salt and light a little bit tonight, okay? But I'm going to go into it more from the aspect of credibility. And you guys know I try to speak practically about things. It's important for us to be influential on the world and not the world influential on us. It's important for us to be willing to stand strong in front of others, as Travis pointed out today. But I also think it's important for us to be consistent. If for us to claim that we are salt and light and not to be consistent would not be appropriate. It wouldn't send the right message. For us to stand strong in whatever our beliefs are and not have them align with Christ would, again, be inconsistent with being a child of God. We have to exude credibility to others for them to see God within us. And I want to explore that some tonight. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I want to look at verses 1 through 12 tonight. I think it's important for us to see how credibility came about in the life of Paul. And I think the first thing that I'd like to bring out is we've all heard news reports where a reporter says credible sources have told us. A credible source would indicate that it's somebody that can be trusted, somebody that's reliable, somebody who has told us things before that were accurate. Credible sources are what we need to be. And it's not just in news, okay? It means that we need to be credible to be believed. If you're going to be a Christian, you need to be credible for people to believe you. If a source is not credible, you won't listen to them. If you go to your doctor and you don't believe them, you're not going to listen to them. If you are talking with a police officer and he's not telling you the truth, you're not going to believe in them, whether they are or not, because you don't believe them. You don't think they're credible. If you're a school teacher, guess what? You got to be credible as a school teacher. People need to be able to believe you and trust that what you're teaching is right. People need to be able to believe you and trust that as a a police officer, that you're following the law. People need to believe you and trust that when they come to you for medical care, that you're getting right, accurate advice, consult, and practice. Credibility is more important in our world today than it's ever been. I see such a lack of credibility in many places in our society. Well, the Christian has to be a credible person, and it's more important now than it's ever been. We could talk about all kinds of professions where credibility is important. Do you want to buy a house from somebody who's not credible? They'll promise you the world, and the first wind that comes along will blow it down. I don't think that's the kind of house that you want. It's extremely true for those of us who claim to be Christians that we need to be walking the walk, talking the talk. Okay? People have been led astray by men and women who have claimed to be Christians. I mean, we see on our TVs every weekend, there's people who are teaching things that are not true about the gospel. We see people who claim to be Christian so that they can get help when they're only claiming to be Christian because they want to take things from you and run off, right? We see people that are so-called Christians that promise to do something and they don't do it. We have people that have entrusted their hard-earned money to some of these so-called Christians, only to have their money stolen. In recent years, we've heard over and over again of so-called Christian priests who have been charged with molesting young boys. Lack of credibility is killing Christianity. It's hurting. Whenever we try to go and give the message to others, they look at the broad, quote-unquote, Christian world, and they say, well, you guys aren't credible. So that's why it becomes even more important for us as individuals to be credible to the people that are around us. People see the greed, the immorality, they hear the lies, and they see the double standard, and they suffer physical and emotional abuses at the hands of those who claim to be Christians. And it leaves such a bad taste in their mouths that they are suspicious of anyone who claims to be a Christian. And they think, if that's what being a Christian is about, I don't want any part of it. And they denounce religion altogether. And that is why it's critical, even essential, that we as God's people be credible. For us to reach out to the lost of this community, to the nation and this world, in the midst of the manipulation and abuse that's going on in the name of religion, people must be able to see us, a people where they say they are truly Christians. So let's look at this passage a little bit more. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and let's set this up for a moment. If you remember, in Acts chapter 17, Paul and Silas had come to Thessalonica for three Sabbaths. Paul preached in the synagogue there. Some of the Jews who saw the success of the word of God was that the word was having became jealous, and they decided to stir up the mob, and they went after Paul and Silas. Some of the brethren were frightened for Paul and Silas, so they took them out of the city. As a result, Paul's quick departure and failure to return to Thessalonica now makes him vulnerable to a very persistent and malicious whispering campaign. I hear he had a police record. He was arrested over in Philippi. You say he loves you so much, then why doesn't he come back? Kind of ran out on you, didn't he? He probably went somewhere where he could spend some more of your money. He was a huckster, a fake, a liar. That's what some of his detractors were trying to say about him. These are the ones who were stirring up trouble and making it important for him to leave after being there only three Sabbaths. Of all these accusations that were being made to destroy Paul's credibility, he writes a letter to counter those accusations. And the first thing that Paul speaks about is his steadfastness. Let's look at verse 2 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. But after we had already suffered and been mistreated in Philippi, as you know, we had the boldness in our God to speak to you of the gospel of God amid such opposition. They had already been beaten in Philippi. Yet when they left Philippi and went to Thessalonica, they continued to preach God. They continued to preach Christ and Him crucified. They had boldness. People who are running out, people who don't care, they don't go back and continue to do the very things that got them in trouble before. It was important that Paul made this point. If you went back to Acts 16 and saw what happened to Paul and Silas over in Philippi, they were beaten with rods, then they were locked in stocks, and then when they came to Thessalonica, it may be that their backs were still bruised and sore from the beating that they had taken back in Philippi. The brethren were genuinely concerned and got them out of town. In spite of all their beatings, in spite of the mistreatment and the suffering, and in spite of the opposition, they still boldly preached the gospel. They were undeterred. They kept the faith. They continued to serve God, regardless of what happened to them, and regardless of what they faced. This gave them credibility. They were walking the walk of what they talked. For us to have credibility, it has to be the same way. We have to be faithful to God and continue serving Him no matter what happens to us. This is one of the ways that we demonstrate our salt, our light in the world, is when we continue to be credible to others. Not too many of us today get beaten for preaching Christ like Paul and Silas did, but we do have some of the things come into our life that cause us to suffer. We have illness, financial difficulties. Some deal with personal relationships that have broken up. Perhaps the worst is the death of a mate or a child. In these situations, we can prove our credibility as Christians. There are some, though, that will blame God and decide they're not coming back to church. Or if in the midst of dealing with these difficult situations, they will forget their faith in their Christian conduct and go off into the world, going back to the things that they left, the sins, the verbal problems, the hateful tirades, things that destroy credibility. If you will, call them fair-weather Christians. They're people who are only Christians when things are going well for them. It is the faith that manifests itself at all times, and especially in the face of adversity, that impresses people. I was talking to Mickey and Tom today. I haven't seen the movie, but there's this guy named Ernie Zampezi that was taken into a Japanese internment camp during World War II. He was an Olympian, and they really mistreated him, but he continued to stick to his patriotism and his loyalty to the country, and he showed his steadfastness. If we're going to have credibility that people notice, we must be steadfast no matter what. Let's look at the second thing that Paul speaks about. Let's go to verses 3 and 4. For our exhortation does not come from error or impurity or by way of deceit, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who examines our hearts. Right? So we don't speak from deceit. Paul says we preach the truth. The word impurity speaks of moral uncleanness. There was no ulterior motive behind what they were doing. And when he says by way of deceit, the word literally speaks of a trick. And Paul says we didn't try to trick anyone. You can be as sincere as you can be, but if your message is wrong, it is inaccurate, your credibility will be destroyed. Have you ever had somebody say something that they truly believed that was wrong? Do people listen to them in the future? You got to get things straight. You got to do things that are not in error. If your message is wrong, or if you have some ulterior motive, whether it is to promote yourself or to gain sinful or monetary favors, or to build your own following, or if people believe that you're a huckster, you will destroy your credibility and that of Christ. And look at the end of verse 4. So we speak not as pleasing to men, but God. One of the times that sometimes we see, this is an example, is at a funeral. Have you ever seen a preacher get up and speak about someone and quote-unquote preach them into heaven? That's not, we're not the judge of those things. Okay? People knew that person. People understood who that person was. They saw how that person acted. And for us to weaken the gospel because we don't want to hurt someone's feelings is not appropriate. Now, you don't have to get up in front of everybody and say, man, this person is horrible, right? But you can say, these are some things they want you to know now. Because in truth, they understand they're on the other side. And whatever their judgment is, whether it's to enter into paradise or whether it's to go into torment, either way, they want you to know things about Christ. When we try to gloss over someone's life, other people look at us and say, can that person be trusted? That's just an example of how our words need to be consistent. We don't want to be saying things that are incongruent with what we believe. We don't want folks to have contempt for us. All right, so they would have much more respect for us if we teach things that are right and appropriate in a loving, kind way, instead of saying what we think people want to hear. And there's too much of people saying what they think others want to hear. It's important for us to say things that are good for others. We need to have their best interest at heart. Yeah, I've talked to Dad about funerals from time to time. And the old-timers, they didn't have a eulogy about the individual in their life. They just had a preacher come and preach the gospel. Because that's what the families wanted back then. Just preach the gospel. I want my loved ones that are still here to hear it. I want them to be saved. I want them to go where I'm going. There's nothing wrong with a eulogy. I'm just saying we have shifted focus in our society over time to the individual rather than towards God and what the individual believed about God. We need to make sure that we leave such situations with the proper respect. If you're going to do what pleases people only, you'll lose respect. It is only when you do that which pleases God that you will find credibility. Let's go down to verses 5 and 6. For we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ we might have asserted our authority. Again, in this passage, he's talking about how they dealt with people. Paul didn't throw his weight around. Paul didn't say, I'm an apostle, so you do this and you do that. There are some preachers that have used their position to demand things of other people. There are some preachers that think that when they go to a business, they should automatically get a 10% discount because of their position. There are some that have the idea that since they are your preacher, you should give them what they want free of charge. As a result, people hate to see them coming and have no respect for them at all. That's not what is credible in our world as far as being Christians. We don't expect our preachers to act that way, and we don't act that way either. If you're going to have credibility with people, respect who they are and their situation, and don't throw your weight around. Verse 7 says, "But we prove to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children, having thus a fond affection for you. We were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us." If you're going to be credible with people, you're going to have to show them that you care. I'm afraid there's too many times when we have more of a self-righteous, condemning attitude about others. We have the attitude, I'm going to heaven and you better obey the gospel or you're going to hell and I don't really care. Is that credible with people? That's not. There's some people that say, well, you have to preach hard on folks. No, you have to preach the truth in love. And you have to make sure that they understand that the things you're bringing to them are for their benefit, that the things that you're bringing to them are because God loves you. That's where we are to be. Paul says, we prove to be gentle among you. These people were infants when it came to the knowledge of the word, and Paul and Silas were patient with them and gentle with them. How much respect do you have for a mother who abandons her baby or refuses to care for it or feed it? How much respect does a new Christian have for us when we just abandon them? We need to care for people. How much respect do people who aren't even Christians yet have for us when we just judge them and move on? We need to show them that we care about them and that we want them to be Christians. It can't just be a show. Verse 10 says, "You are witnesses, and so God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we have behaved towards you believers, just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." If you want credibility, people have got to see that you want what is best for them. In this passage, Paul uses the metaphor of exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one as a father would his own children. That's a pretty strong metaphor. How many of us care for others like we would care for our own children? In this culture, the mother did the nurturing and the father did the instructing. Paul says, "We were like fathers who were exhorting, encouraging, and imploring each one of you. Notice the goal of their aim, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his kingdom." That was the goal. The goal wasn't to make the church bigger. The goal wasn't to show others how great of a preacher I am because I can speak well and convince you to do something. No, the goal was to bring them into the kingdom for God's glory. Paul wants what's best for you in this writing. Not ourselves, but you. We want what's best for you. Not ourselves, but you. So, here it is. If we're going to have the credibility that we must have, that we so desperately need to manifest to a lost world, credibility that will make us stand out separate and apart from others, so that the Lord can be seen through us. Here's what we have to do and be. We have to be steadfast in our faith, truthful in our message, no ulterior motives, no tricks. We have to be open and honest. We have to be pleasing to God, not men. We need to be sincere, not greedy, not self-seeking. We need to be caring. We need to seek what is best for others. So this evening, I would ask you as a Christian, how's your credibility? How are you when you talk to others? Do they know that you're Christians? Can they tell by your actions? If you're struggling tonight with your Christianity and you need to be a better witness, we would love to pray with you and help you. If you've never been a Christian and you want to start a great and noble walk, we would love to baptize you, washing away your sins, allowing you to rise to walk in newness of life. If we can help you in any way, please come while we stand and sing.